Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Back to the headlines now and back to the financial crisis as another bank is taking steps to make sure that it stays afloat. Washington Mutual may be trying to get several private equity firms to help keep its beleaguered bank in business. The Wall Street Journal reports bank officials have talked to the Carlyle and Blackstone investment firms about teaming with Texas investor Gerald J. Ford for a potential joint takeover. What's not known is how the deal would be structured due to federal limits on non-bank entities' ownership of banks. The Journal also reports several banks, including J.P. Morgan Chase, are reluctant to buy Washington Mutual due to its bad home loans. Washington Mutual also got bad news when Standard & Poor's cut its ratings on the bank's debt due to the likelihood the bank's sale would not involve the whole company. That would increase the risk of default for holding company creditors. Back onto the campaign trail now, and of course the financial crisis is closely intertwined with the presidential campaign now that Republican nominee John McCain has suspended his campaign activities and even vowed to stay out of Friday night's debate in Oxford, Mississippi with Barack Obama unless a conclusion is reached here in Washington on the contents of the financial bailout or rescue package, depending upon your terminology. McCain's move, of course, is being hailed by many on the right and being mocked by those on the left as a cynical political ploy. Howard Wolfson served as communications director for Hillary Clinton's failed presidential campaign. He says this is simply not a smart move by John McCain.
Well, I think John McCain has put himself in a bit of a box here. If there's no deal tomorrow, he can't go back on what he said. If there's no deal, Barack Obama will be there by himself with an empty podium.
But Wolfson says more than likely a deal will get done, and McCain will be able to save face and still show up at the debate.
I think it will be very strange for a lot of Americans tuning in, hoping to watch a debate, not seeing John McCain. I do think we're going to get a deal tomorrow. I do think we're going to be there. But we will be very much in uncharted waters if Barack Obama is on that stage by himself.
But while some, like Wolfson, say it's a bad move by John McCain, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich says this is a courageous move by his party's nominee.
I think it's clear that the president's team has failed, and that now it's Senator McCain's turn to see if he can succeed.
On to the campaign trail now, and while McCain and Obama were here in Washington dealing with the financial crisis, Senator Joe Biden and Alaska Governor Sarah Palin were still on the campaign trail. Governor Palin, who had spent the past couple of days in New York City meeting with world leaders to boost up her foreign policy resume heading into the debate season with Joe Biden in just a number of days, stopped at Ground Zero in New York, that, of course, the site of the terrorist attacks against the World Trade Center in September of 2001. Governor Palin said the visit to the site was extremely emotional.
I wish every American would come through here. I wish every world leader would come through here and understand what it is that took place here.
Meanwhile, onto the war on terrorism. Pentagon officials say the NATO helicopters fired on by Pakistani forces were American aircraft. According to the Pentagon, at no point were the U.S. helicopters inside Pakistan. Washington is calling for Pakistani officials to explain the reason for the incident. Pentagon spokesman Brian Whitman told reporters the choppers were inside Afghanistan and that U.S. officials want a better understanding for the basis of the hostile fire. And they got at least an explanation today. Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari says troops from his country fired flares at U.S. helicopters that were part of the NATO forces in its border area with Afghanistan. Zardari says the flares were sent up to alert the choppers they had crossed into Pakistan from neighboring Afghanistan. Zardari said the border between the two countries is often unclear. Pentagon officials earlier said the U.S. helicopters were operating entirely inside Afghanistan and had not crossed over the country's borders. In other news, South Africa's parliament has elected ANC deputy leader Kgalema Motlanthe as interim president. He replaces the former and resigning president Thabo Mbeki. Trevor Manuel, who resigned as finance minister along with Mbeki, expects stability for the country amid all this political upheaval. Mbeki was forced to resign recently by his party amid claims of political interference in a corruption case against African National Congress chief Jacob Zuma. Motlanthe has promised to keep South Africa on the economic path followed by the Mbeki administration. And finally, back here in Washington, a prosecutor in Alaska Senator Ted Stevens' corruption trial has accused the veteran lawmaker of concealing hundreds of thousands of dollars in gifts. That, of course, the thrust of the charges against the man who was first elected to the Senate back in 1968. In her opening statements, government prosecutor Brenda Morris said Stevens filed false financial disclosure forms with the Senate. She stated those forms omitted more than $250,000 Stevens received from 2000 through 2006. Stevens' attorney insisted the senator was a devoted public servant and filed accurate statements to the best of his ability. Stevens is the longest-serving Republican senator in U.S. history, and his trial could determine the outcome of his bid to win another six-year term in November. He is on the ballot, and right now he's locked in a very difficult battle, largely due to the corruption allegations against him, against his Democratic opponent. Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, we will be checking with Peter Farrar of the American Spectator to find out why he believes many conservatives are very upset with the president's proposed bailout plan for Wall Street and what a true economic recovery plan should look like, in his opinion. We'll also talk with David Johnson of Strategic Vision about the latest battleground polls that he's produced from Pennsylvania, Michigan, and New Hampshire, three critical states in this year's cycle. And we'll also talk with Bob Knight of the Culture and Media Institute about how the media is likely to perform in the upcoming presidential debates. Stay tuned. This is Dateline Washington.